Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture we consider in our meditation for this evening is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, the 18th chapter. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" This is God's word. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you ever get to the point where you just don't care anymore? Seems like everything is going wrong and there's nothing that you can do about it. You've tried to change the direction of your life or the outcome of the situation you are facing, but every effort seems to fail. You throw up your hands and say, "What's the use? Nothing I do seems to work. Why should I bother? God's going to do what God's going to do, and I'm just going to have to learn to live with it." The two verses before us tonight take us into the middle of a dark garden called Gethsemane on a Thursday night many years ago. Here in the middle of the crowd, we zero in on two men. First of those men is Simon Peter from the city of Capernaum. Simon Peter is a fighter. You're not going to find him throwing up his hands and giving up too often. When the going gets tough for a guy like Simon Peter, he is very likely to try to do something about it, to try to solve the situation that he's facing. And that's exactly what happens on this night. Jesus, Simon Peter's friend and teacher, did not listen to the advice that his friends and loved ones gave him. They had told him and pleaded with him, "Don't go up to Jerusalem." They knew that Jesus' enemies were in Jerusalem more than anywhere else. And those enemies wanted Jesus dead. Of course, Jesus knew this. He knew the dangers. In fact, he talked about them quite openly on a number of occasions. And Simon Peter vowed to do whatever he could to keep anything bad from ever happening to Jesus. And now he had his chance. His chance to keep that promise. Jesus' enemies have found him. It wasn't very hard for them to do. Jesus and his friends and followers, they had gone to this garden so many times in the past, it was a custom for them to go there for prayer and some quiet time together and with their Lord. And Judas, one who had formerly been a friend and follower of Jesus, he turned against Jesus. He went to the other side. He told Jesus' enemies just where he would probably be on this night. And sure enough, there he was. Judas, this former friend, led the enemies right to Jesus. When they get there, they make it very clear that it's Jesus that they have come for. They want to arrest him and take him away. And Jesus is ready to go with them. But Simon Peter won't let it happen. He has a short sword with him, and he pulls it out and he begins to swing it wildly. And as he does, he hits one of the servants of the high priest and cuts off his right ear. He must know that the odds are against them. Many of those who have come to the garden on this night to arrest Jesus are trained Roman soldiers. They know exactly what they are doing. And chances are that the number of those who are coming to arrest Jesus far outnumbers that little group of friends and followers that were with Jesus in the garden on this night. They don't stand a chance if they try to fight. But that doesn't matter to Peter. Peter has found something that he believes in. He loves Jesus, and he's willing to die for him, and so he starts fighting. In his mind, this is the right thing to do. But then we look at the other man in this story, Jesus. When Simon Peter starts to fight, Jesus tells him to put his sword away. Imagine what must be going through Simon Peter's mind at this moment. Looks like Jesus is just giving up. So often in the last several weeks, Jesus talked about dying. And when Peter said that he wouldn't let that happen, Jesus didn't seem to want any of Peter's help. When the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, Jesus doesn't resist. Jesus doesn't try to get away. He simply turns himself over to them and says, "Let my friends go." It sure looks like Jesus is just giving up the fight. Like he just wants to die. But what we hear in the searching question that Jesus then asks Peter on this night is not resignation. It's not giving up. Instead, it's a perfect understanding of his Father's will and a perfect resolve to carry out that will all the way to the end. He asks, "Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Jesus cannot ask the question much more assertively than he does. He's not giving up at all. In fact, he's in complete control. The cup that Jesus is talking about is God's wrath, the suffering and death that he is about to endure under the heavy hand of God's anger over the sins of the world. Many times in the Bible, God's anger is described this way, as a cup that is poured out upon those who are disobedient and rebellious. And those who have done wrong are forced to drink that cup. You may recall that just moments before this account that we're looking at tonight, Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father, "Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." He wasn't looking for a way out of saving the world, but he was looking for a way to save the world without the severe suffering, if that were possible. But this was the only way. Sin could not go unpunished. And Jesus is the only one who could be punished for the sins of the whole world. Because the Father loved all people, it was his will for Jesus to be punished and to die. And because Jesus shares his Father's love for the world, that is what he wants too. And so he tells Peter to put his sword away. And he shows the firm commitment to following through on his Father's plan when he asks, "Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" This question must make Peter search his own heart and mind. He is ready to die with Jesus, or so he says. He's ready to act boldly and confidently, to fight to the death. But his actions are wrong. They don't line up with God's will. Peter has not been listening to Jesus. Jesus knows exactly what he is doing. Jesus knows exactly what is best for Peter and for all the world. Jesus is in perfect control of this situation. But Peter doesn't trust him. Peter thinks he has a better way. And who can blame him? If Jesus is arrested and then put to death, what will that mean for Peter? Even if he somehow could escape this night and get away, surely his life will never be easy. He'll face persecution and pain, trial and torment, difficulties and danger for the rest of his life. And history tells us that one day, Peter will drink his own cup of suffering and then die on a cross, just like Jesus, because he confesses Jesus as his Savior. If Jesus could somehow escape arrest on this night, maybe all of that could be avoided for Peter. But Peter wasn't really paying attention to everything Jesus said. Jesus has not only predicted his own suffering and death, but he said to Peter and to all of his fellow disciples, "You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." And Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This was hard for Peter to hear. And it's hard for us to hear too. No one wants to suffer for his faith. No one wants to be hated. No one wants to have trouble. And so we look for a way out. We look for a way around it. We try to find a way both to follow Jesus and to avoid the cross of suffering. But we aren't paying attention to the Father's will. He says, "Take up your cross and follow Jesus." And that's not the only way that we might choose to ignore what Jesus says. To put our own will ahead of his. Do we ever hide the Bible's unpopular teachings to try to make it sound more appealing to unbelievers? Do we ever decide that keeping fellow Christians happy is more important than calling them to repentance when they sin? Do we ever become so attached to the blessings that we have from our God that we can't bear the thought of giving up one more hour or one more dollar to help someone in need or to support the spread of God's life-giving gospel? Jesus does not promise that life as a Christian in this world is going to be easy. And as we follow him, we need to ask ourselves that same searching question: shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? Shall I not follow his will at all times, no matter how foolish it may seem, no matter what better way I might think that I have? And then we need to look back in the garden and see again how Jesus answers this question. His answer, of course, is yes. Yes, I will follow my Father's will. Yes, I will drink the cup the Father has given me. Yes, I will do what my Father wants, even to the point of laying down my life. Yes, I will trust that what God ordains is always good, and His will is just and holy. For Jesus, that will means suffering and dying, even though He never once wavered from the will of His Father. It means drinking the cup of God's wrath for every time Peter stood in the way of God's will, and for every time you and I do the same. It means facing death and hell for sinners like us who foolishly think that we know better than God. Jesus goes that way willingly so that we won't have to. Jesus goes that way with firm resolve because His love for us and His determination to save us will not be shaken. And because He does, we have been forgiven. We have been washed clean. Everything that we have ever done against His will has been wiped off our record forever. We stand holy before our God. Jesus doesn't give up on this night in the garden. He sets out to save us by drinking the cup of suffering that we deserve. What wondrous love. What amazing grace. Now that we have been rescued by that love and saved by that grace, let us strive to know better and better His perfect, gracious will. And then humbly and joyfully to say in all that we do, Your will be done, Father. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that transcends all of our understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.